Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Hip Hop National.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight I'm diving into one of the topics that I like to talk about, and that's lyrics. So definitely I want to jump into it tonight. But before I get into the topic, I want to go ahead and go to the throne and give God due respect. Lord, thank you for giving us a platform that we can come together to express ourselves collectively as a community. Lord, we ask that every ear and every mind that is tuned in, locked and loaded to Hip Hop National, that they will be able to return to the marketplace energized and ready to go and to take off into this business. We ask that you bless them in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen. All right, guys, we're going to get into it. Is hip hop lyrics an imitation of life mishaps? You know, when I was coming up with this topic, I thought, oh man, this would be a great topic, and I still think it's going to be a great topic. But I just realized how large this is. No, hip hop lyrics is not just of life mishaps. It also embraces some of the other things. But my question is, behind it all, do we have enough balance on both sides so we can see all sides of all four corners of this situation? Do we get to see it all? Because right now it seems like everyone is expressing a few things of life and not the whole entire picture. And when I was thinking out this topic earlier and I was exploring it, I was saying, you know, hip-hop actually is an imitation of things that we do in life, meaning if we hit our finger, the first thing that comes out of our mouth is a form of profanity, 9 times out of 10, because it hurt. I will say that suck. I will say this. We'll say the N-word to express something, sometimes in terms of endearment. But it's various different ways that hip-hop reflects life. Now, my question is hip-hop an imitation of life, or is it life an imitation of hip-hop? So we're going to open up the floor. I'm going to go to Raw Dog first. Raw Dog.
Well, hello, Poetic. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine.
Good, good, good. Now, we're talking about the lyrics this evening, right? Of
yes,
hip-hop
sir.
Imitation.
Yes,
well, that's a very, very deep subject because, I think there's a side of it that is lacking. I think hip-hop, the side that's lacking, you know, is hope, change and chance, the middle class, and parenting. I don't hear any hip-hop songs that have anything to do with those four different titles that I just said. You know, I think it has. It's gone the other way because it's about sex. It's about being intoxicated off of different drugs and what have you. I think that it promotes the wrong attitude to be shown in public. You know, we talk about the dancing and what have you. And then when we go to the younger generation, we're talking about those that are between the age of 11 to 14 that are in middle school, they're no longer able to have what we used to have, dances and what have you, because of the fact that the school districts are not allowing the dances that these children are imitating that they see in the videos, you know, twerking and what have you. So, you know, we can hash it up even more, you know, but that's my opening statement.
Okay, cool. Glad for that. So we're going to go to Tiffany. Tiffany, what's your opening statement for tonight's topic? Is hip-hop lyrics an imitation of life, or is life an imitation of hip-hop?
Honestly, I think they say art is an imitation of life, but at the same time, I think it can go both ways. When it comes to the lyrics of today, I noticed that it tends to be more lyrics being an imitation of life. Therefore, you know, when you, because right now it's so weird, it's so strange that before, back in the day when it was about, like, the love and about, like, the Luther Vandross and all of them who really sang about what it's like to be in love, even at that very moment when you know what love is. Now it's like, and I'm not gonna hate because I actually like this song because I think it's different. But say, for instance, the song, I Endorse These Strippers. Okay? Let me just say one thing.
Say what?
That is... Here we go. I just want to start it right now. Like, so it starts now where lyrics are an imitation of life. And I honestly think that we could get to a better place if we went back to that moment where life was an imitation of lyrics. Whereas what I mean by that is that we're jumping on it prior to just talking about things that consistently happen. Okay, yeah, you know, all right, so there's a lot of people even listening or doing whatever that do endorse those strippers. But at the same time, I want to go back. All right. But I want to go back to that moment where we are ahead of the game, if you know what I mean, where we are visionaries. And that, I feel like, is the most important thing, and that's the beautiful part of artistry. And that's the beautiful thing that we can do as artists, musicians, writers of any sort. I think that's – I really would love to see us go back there. So, but
awesome.
We're not there at the moment.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to bring in another caller. 313-808, please state your name and where you're calling in from. Okay, she dropped. Okay. Anyway, we go back to it. You know something,
Stripper.
Tiffany? You actually touch notes on something that I kind of brought up in this discussion. And you said that I'd like to see us go back to when life was an imitation of lyrics. In other words, tell me if I'm wrong, you're saying lyrics at one time was proactive in making
exactly.
people react based on what they say. Now today,
mm-hmm.
we're reacting from what we see.
Exactly.
In life.
Exactly.
We're not proactive, we're reactive.
Yeah, it's changed from us being visionaries
wow.
to artists.
Did I go there?
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah. Somebody turn on the lights. You guys are confusing me. Strippers? I'm trying to still get past that one.
You just heard that.
Well,
right up.
She makes a good point. This is what we're talking about now.
I just said
I
kind of got
stuck. Don't get me wrong. It's in the club. They're talking about it. They're talking about life. That's what they. That's
Come
the
on.
Life that they see. But don't get me wrong. It's beginning to me. It's beginning to be the only life we see.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, yeah. Because listen. I got a bridge for everybody to buy. That's just what that's the same thing that you're saying. You know,
yeah.
They're selling a false look. You know, okay, this is life. Strippers, popping bottles in the club, all of that. I hear what you're saying. you know, but I got a bridge for sale. That's the same equation. They both match up to the same thing. They're not the logical point of life. You know, you guys talked about strippers. I'm having a hard time looking that one up.
So what does that tell you? What does that tell you? It's not logical. It's not what you expect to hear. It's not what we want to hear, but that's what we are hearing. That is my point. That is what we are hearing.
Okay. And I do understand that. I really, really do, because I tried to figure out the logic of what made strip joints so popular. I mean, they've been around, you know, but they weren't as lucrative as they are now. And that's probably because of the hip-hop era in promoting that lifestyle in the male population.
Can I interrupt you just for a second? I just want to bring in this caller. Okay.
Sure.
313-808. Please state your name when you're calling in from.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Welcome to Hip Hop Now.
Hi.
What you,
Hi,
is
this
Camille?
Yes, it
Camille,
is.
Where are you calling in from, Camille?
I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan.
All right. Now we were talking basically about how life hip hop imitates life, and we're not and where the lyrics was once imitated, it imitates life, and instead of us dictating to what life should be like, pretty much in a nutshell. Am I right? My people, come on, stand with me.
I told you, you guys, turn on the lights. See, you guys lost me a stripper.
All right.
Well, I was listening to the conversation, and I kind of like feel that it does in a sense, because people are, well, the younger generation tends to imitate what they see. And I think it's something that's been going on for generations. The only difference is now is just to a capacity where it's, like, really totally exposed, like, just anything goes in life now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's right, Poet, yeah. Because I remember the Superfly era, you know, Diamond in the Back, you know. If you can remember the transition of how all of a sudden there were bell bottoms and polyester and plaid pants on men with the wide brim and the feather and the long coats and all of that, music has always influenced a portion of the population, you know. And it's strange and it's weird like that. Cocaine became a raving thing when Superfly came out, you know. It was the weekend pleasure, you know, and platform shoes. How did that evolve?
You always say that music was the influence, but now it seems to me it's reversed. We are just imitating everything that we see, and we're just echoing it over and over again.
Well, that's what they do.
To me,
because that's
we're
exactly
not
what's happening. Exactly.
But see, that happened during the Superfly era. That image that they portrayed in the music, you know. And all of that was in the lyrics, and people imitated that. You know, music has been that way. It has had that type of effect on a portion of the population. Now, everybody didn't turn that way, but the thought of, well, let's get into it. You said strippers pimping, you know, being a coke dealer. You
I didn't
know,
take pimping.
The fancy
you said
cars.
That, not me.
Well, she,
right?
She said stripper.
What did you say?
You said stripper.
She said stripper.
What did you say?
That wasn't
pimping?
Part of my comment. I said
right.
I did not say pimping. You said
well,
pimping.
No, but it was. It happened like that. Oh, you're not touching it now, huh?
I just got the whole conversation on mute.
I just listened to the dry air. I was just saying, okay, let's see where this is going to go.
he was like a deer in headlights. Table?
No, I'm just saying, I had to mute it for a second because I had to say this. Raw Dog, you are saying is that it's been out there. You're right. But it
Absolutely.
Was more, but it wasn't as overt as it is now.
Yeah.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Right
it wasn't
See,
just
hold it,
all
hold it,
out
hold it,
there.
Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. I got to take you back in history. Everybody hold hands. I'm going to take you back to another point. The flower
all right,
children.
I got y'all hands.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go. The flower children. You know, talking about, free love. When the era came in the hippies, you see, psychedelic music, Puff the Magic Dragon. I always bring that one up on this show in Poetic Souls. He remembers that one. That was a child song.
You
no,
are doing
it was
nothing.
About smoking weed. Puff.
You are doing nothing. You are doing nothing, Raw Dog, but proving my point. It was more covert than it is now. Overt. Now it's
overt.
Just put it
well,
all
minute,
out there.
Wait a minute,
you know?
Wait a minute. Tiffany, I didn't say I didn't agree with you. I just said
yes,
I got stuck
I
on
not.
Strippers. Just like you got stuck on pimping. See?
I didn't get stuck on it, though.
Oh.
Because I've moved past that.
Now, can I
what
ask you this, though? Do you feel that the music, life, okay, that hip-hop is raising our children, or is just our way of life that they see in society? I'm trying to poke apart the lyrics. Is the lyrics the major influence, or is it just that life in itself is where it's, that's a situation, and they're just echoing it through our music? What's your thoughts, Camille?
Well, I personally think it's both. I think it's what they hear and what they see. I think it goes hand in hand. The lyrics definitely is doing something. I think it's raising a lot of the children, and not even that being the intention. But it's just like when you turn on the radio, whether you're hearing the clean version versus the X-rated version, still the lyrics is doing something to our children.
True.
And Tiffany?
Well, I see it more firsthand than I ever really intended to, because right now, even like say for instance tomorrow, this is a great topic to talk about, but tomorrow I will be going to the high school, and I step into the high school just to check and see where they are when it comes to the performing arts side of things. I go ahead and talk to them. I try and inspire them to be positive influences in the artistry of life and in as far as being artists, period. And I hear it. I hear them singing those songs. I hear them singing those songs about, you know, let me get my syrup and let me smoke on my whatever. And the thing about it is that this is what they see, and this is and all that negativity that they see is doing nothing. It's being smiled upon nowadays based on the lyrics of music that's coming out. And that's the problem. That's what I see. That's what I notice. And as much as I can come in there and try and be a positive influence, if they're hearing this all the time on the radio, on YouTube, on everywhere else, then really, honestly, when there's 5 million views on a song, who do you think they're going to listen to? Me? One person coming in and saying, you know, be positive, or 5 million other people who have liked a song about smoking this, doing that, drinking that, and doing this, or her or him or whatever. You see, there's only so much control we have anymore if we don't stop it now when it comes to music and when it comes to any type of art. So that's
I agree with all you. I have to say. I agree with you. We'll be back in just a second. Just for a brief moment, we'll be right back.
In the mix with Dr. Ray T. Tammy Hearn on the Spreaker channel. www.spreaker.com/listen. Hip Hop National Radio.
All right, and we're back. Right now, guys, we are engaged talking about, is hip-hop lyrics an imitation of life mishaps? You just heard Tiffany Hightower, and I just want to ask you guys, I'm going to go to Raw Dog and get his opinion. Raw Dog, what's your thoughts?
Well, you know what? Yes, I agree. You know, that they are talking about what they see. Now, I got to make this statement about where I live, up here in Washington State. Well, our hip-hop up here is going to go to hell in a handbasket. And I say this because by next Christmas, someone's going to come out with a song, I Saw Mommy and Daddy Puff Puff Passing It Around the Christmas Tree. We made marijuana legal up here. Okay? So, you know, when we start talking about lyrics imitating life, I'm waiting for the next song like that. You know, I saw Mama and Daddy, and they were puff, puff, puffing it along, you know, because it does. It has a tendency to be the soundboard for the younger people to change and become more adult acting. You see, you know, the strip clubs, twerking, what have you. It influenced them throughout the history in music, you know, when it was the psychedelic and the hippies. It was the teenagers that embraced it, and they became the next generation. And then when Superfly came out, you know, it was the teenagers, and it was the next generation dressed up like clowns and what have you. Not knowing, but it was the style. It was the way it was in America, okay? And so, you know, now you've got hip-hop and you've got the strip clubs and what have you, and it's just imitating the point of ridiculous adults acting out. And the kids, it's a soundboard, okay? Get ready, because when you grow up, guess what? You can do this, too. You can pop corks and throw money.
It's not ridiculous.
Pardon?
It's not ridiculous.
Go ahead, Tiffany.
It's not ridiculous. It's
realistic. Are you saying?
I don't agree with it, but it's not
ridiculous.
When's
the last hip-hop song that you heard about college? See what I'm saying? In other words, it is ridiculous because guess what? Life can be imitated on so many different levels. It's not thought of. It's not thought of.
Don't get me wrong, Rodo. I wanted to explore exactly what you're saying because I solemnly agree with you. But how do someone express? See, don't get me wrong. And I'm going here for a reason, guys. And I'm about to be a little bit more blunt than I've ever been on this show. Okay. But I'm going to have for a reason. I'm about to be real blunt. But I'm saying it for a reason, so I'm letting everybody who's listening out there in La La Land, if you don't think Poetic went crazy.
Drum roll.
But don't get me wrong. What we hear today in school is the moment there's a fight or they're getting ready to engage in a confrontation, the first thing blurred out their mouth is MF or nigga what? It's all reality. We conform to that because it's a form of reaction. And we react. We're reacting to the things, like when I said, if you get your hand slammed in the door, a blunt form of language gonna come out your mouth, period. But that's reacting. And I see us reacting as lyricists instead of proacting, which you had said, like the college thing. The thing is, when you speak of college and then you start talking about the ABCs and the universities and all of this stuff, it becomes to the average person, nerdy. How do you make it creative so it's so just as strong as the negative stuff that we encounter. I'm coming right to
pepper.
You, Rodolph.
Salt and pepper. Wait, no, stop. Everybody just stop and let me say this. Salt and pepper, let's talk about sex, baby. Okay? They knew.
Yes.
They tried. They did it
but
right.
But it was classy. That wasn't trashy. It was classy.
No, they did it right. That's what I'm saying.
It was
if
classy.
We could go back to that, it'd be wonderful. That's all I have
and
to
you
say.
Heard that from Raw Dog's mouth.
No, I said that.
No, you didn't. He said Raw Dog. Yes. And we thank you for that, Raw Dog. Now, as Tiffany,
yeah,
I want to say this to you. As Tiffany, I want to say this.
Yeah, I'm still here. I just was muted, but I'm still here.
Okay.
The only thing that I can say is this. Okay, you know, the artists have got to be a rebel. I mean, okay, we talk about the crabs in the barrel and all that and this and that and the other. And yes, okay, the strippers and the twerking, the first one, they're shocking, and the rest of them we hear are monotonous because they're just repeating something that somebody else opened the door and did once, and now everybody wants to jump on that same cart. But I think what has to happen is that the things that I the subjects that I brought up in the beginning that, you know, hey, a hip-hop artist could talk about are going to be the next artist that opened the door and we're going to recognize them. Who thought an artist could be recognized for the thrift store? Now, see, you got, most artists think inside the box. They want to be better than the next guy that they heard doing it like this. I do it better than he does. Mine's got more reality to it. But the funny part about it is that if you're going to make it in this music industry, just like the Temptations, just like George Clinton, just like Herbie Hancock, just like Michael Jackson, you're going to have to be different. Just put it down just like it really, it's about. You know, open the envelope, go in a different direction. You'll be noticed. They might say it's nerdy, but guess what? It's innovative. It might be embraced. It might be accepted and played all over the world. But the way things are going, people aren't getting heard. You're standing out there like a panhandler, you know, and trying to sell a CD on the corner. Not that you might not be making a little bit of money, but guess what? You can make a whole lot more money if you do it right, if you think bigger than that, Let's put it like this. How many strippers are in Atlanta? Okay, well, just think about it. Okay, there's 500 more come on their way now. So, okay, the less the money because they're all doing the same thing. Okay, you know, once the market gets filled, you know, it becomes nickels and dimes and quarters. Okay? And, you know, if you can't fry a pork chop as a stripper, well, guess what? It's pennies. So, you know, we're back to the pork chops again. You guys that have been with us for some time know that that's one of the requirements I ask in a female. Can she fry a pork chop? Okay, back to you, Poetic.
All right. Well, guys, in observation of a recent loss that we just had, we got a special song to the Mandela's family. This is rest in peace to Mandela. I wanted to give some observation on the show that we do care and we're here and we do sympathize for the family and what they're going through. He was a great man, and tonight we're just gonna in observation of the tune that would be our commercial tonight. Y'all stay with us. There's more to come on the other side. Is hip-hop lyrics an imitation of life? For those who are just tuning in, all you have to do is press the number one if you want to chime in on the topic. It will get engaging definitely when we come back. Y'all stay with us. There's more on the other side.
We have lost one of the most courageous souls, Nelson Mandela. You are my hero. A true leader of equality. I've seen you fight battles. I just wanted to let you know you are my hero. You fought and stood for something bigger than yourself. freedom fighter, and we love you, and stood for something, a leader among men. One day we will reunite, you are my hero. We love you, you fought and stood, a crusader, a soldier of freedom. I just want you to know, you are my hero. No one will live forever, we all must die. But one thing will live forever, it's the memory that we all leave behind. A man of justice, I just want you to know, you are my hero. A man of kindness, an icon, you are my hero. One thing will live forever, it's the memory. A visionary, you are my hero. I witness you touch and lead me to your mind and heart. I just want you to know that you are my hero. A man of incredible strength, of forgiveness. And we love you. Rest in peace. Life is made up of years that mean nothing and moments that mean it all. A man who took history in his hands. Rest in peace. There's nothing that you can do when God calls your name. Rest in peace. A true leader of equality. Rest in peace. A warrior has made steps into heaven. Rest in peace. A man of intelligence. Tomorrow without you, a symbol of freedom. Rest in peace. These are the last words that you hear. Rest in peace. I just want you to know that you are my hero, and we love you. Rest in peace. The words can't explain, but one thing will live forever is the memory. One day we will reunite. A man for the people. Can you see me? Take my hand. Take a journey with me. Rest in peace. We will fly through the heavens and down memory lane as we get drunk off memories. Rest in peace. You are my hero. Never shall we forget Nelson Mandela. Rest in peace. There's a point in a man's life when he starts to realize who matters, who never did, and who always will. Never shall we forget Nelson Mandela. I'll always remember you as that warrior. Rest in peace. You are my hero.
Rest in peace, Nelson Mandela. You're my hero. That was by Dr. A.T. and Radar Productions. Man, was I excited. I'm glad I did not listen to that before. Playing it. This is my first time hearing it. I want to get you guys' reaction. I'm going to you, Tiffany. What do you think of the song from Nelson Mandela? Rest in peace. You're my hero. Then I'm going to go to Camille. She may be on, what you call it? Camille, what's your thoughts?
I thought it was a very nice song.
Yeah, so did I. I really did. I thought it was a good tribute. Raw Dog's son actually made that.
Okay.
And Raw Dog, their production did. Very good. Very good, by the way. I commend you guys on that, man. That was really, really good. I loved it.
Well, we tried. You know, Nelson Mandela was a great man. And, you know, the thought and the loss and what have you. You know, it was unexpected and as far as my family, you know. We wanted him to live forever. But then in his passing, we just wanted to have something to honor him. You know, hey, as a black man, I think that he was one of the people that I would love the young black males and all the males to look at and try to become as deep and as caring and as loving and as intelligent as he was. And so that, doing that song, it was just one way for us to say he meant something in our life, in my family's life, in my life, you know, and we need more like him, you know. I've seen Martin, I've seen Bobby, I've seen, you know, Don, and, you know, I got to see Obama and Mandela. Yeah, you know, I mean, so I've seen those that I wish that I could be as strong and as deep and as forgiving and embrace, you know, those that have done negative towards me. And one day maybe I'll move that way. I'll be able to get closer to that type of individual. But it's something to shoot for, you know, rather than selling drugs on the street and what have you, you know, trying to change images, you know, for the young people to strive to become better, you know, and to be all they can be, you know, and to forgive, you know, because that man could have came out of prison and rallied the people to overthrow the government with violence because they loved him and believed in him and they saw his strength. And instead, he did it with love and in a way that there was no bloodshed. He brought the country together because he showed that you may not understand us, but we're human just like you, you know. And when we're talking about the regime before that had the oppression towards, you know, the black, the Africans, you know. So I don't want the young people to forget about him, because that is the true point of being a man, to be able to walk, to understand the people, and to stand for what is right and just. So, you know, hey.
I want to say this, Rodolph. You bring up an interesting point. What he could have done, he could have turned that negative and then fueled it more with negative and adding fire to that fire, where it becomes an uncontrollable fire of anger. Yes,
yeah.
I totally agree. And don't get me wrong, you said you wish you could be in that way. To me, that's what hip-hop is. Hip-hop is a giant. We are huge. Together, we are a humongous voice. Before I get into it, I'm going to bring in 706-957, because I will get carried away. 706-957. Please state your name, where you're calling in from.
My brother Al, this is Bro Ham and Eggs. How are you doing? I'm in LaGrange, Georgia.
Bro, Ham, and Eggs, welcome back to the show, man. It's been a minute, but I'm glad to have you back. But I'm about to go ahead, and I'm going to go around and get you guys a opinion. Hip-hop is a giant. And what I'm saying is, when I say that we're a giant, we're so huge as a voice, power comes in numbers. And what the show is about tonight is, hey, Bro, Ham, and Eggs, it's some noise, wind or something coming in your phone, so I'm gonna put you on mute until I come to you, okay? Okay?
Not a problem.
All right. The thing it is, it's so big, it's so huge. If we exercise this voice, we can affect change. And that's what I'm saying. Instead of us reacting, which we tend to do a lot, we tend to react, we can proact and start to raise the voice to expect change in a positive light. But how do we do it? And that's where I want to start at. I'm going to start going around. I'm going to bring in Bro Ham and Eggs, give him a chance to chime in now. Then I'm going to go to Camille and Tiffany and then Rodolph. Bro Ham and Eggs, you now got the floor, sir.
All right. First, I want to say, you know, it's a mental thing. Your mind has to want to change first. You must see where you are. You must see what's going on around you. You must understand ideology. And there's a good sociologist you might want to look up called Stuart Hall, who talks about hegemony. And the one thing that what happens even with what's going, what happened with the apartheid situation, and you, if anybody listened last night and watched 60 Minutes, he was still angry, still mad at those people, because you don't forget. And what he turned his anger into is positiveness. How to affect change? How do we want to change? How do we want people to view us? How do we actually take the enemy control and turn it into a positive and not a negative for us? And that's what happens when we're in the music realm. How do we take our words? How do we take our actions? How do we take the negative persona that's on us and change that into a positive so that there's no more stray bullets and arrows that can be pointed at us to affect us? And that's the key thing to all of what's going on is mindset. You have to change with.
Did he drop off?
I believe he did. But I want to say this with what he was saying. Sometimes we're in the box, and don't get me wrong. People told me practice what you preach, and I got to be honest with you. I hear it, but sometimes when you're in the box, it's hard to see outside of the box because you're in it. Don't get me wrong. We are in the ghettos. We're in private houses. We're on welfare. We are in the midst of gang fighting. And sometimes it's hard to see ourselves outside of that box. So what do? It's called meditation. It's called prayer. It's called getting inside who you are, inside that spirit of yours, reaching in deep. And then creating and proacting instead of reacting. It's easily said than it is done. But those who do it becomes individuals that stands out, such as a Nelson Mandela, such as a, you know, such as a president, such as some of our great leaders today. Because they in that box, but they step outside of that box to become an individual voice that affect change. All right, Vroham and Eggs, I'm going to let you finish your thought, and then we're going to move on to Camille.
Yeah, I don't know. Bad signal. Sorry to apologize about that. But
that's okay.
Just want to, you know, just basically you reiterate back on what I was saying, and what you just piggybacked on is effectiveness. Being an effective leader, knowing that you have leadership skills, following up on those leadership skills to make change. If you know that you are influencing people around you with your lyrics and words, then understand that you are a leader and people are going to follow you. And when you find that people are following you, you must lead them, and then you must understand how to step back yourself and to be a follower and let them take what you're saying, lead them, then turn around and make change. And that becomes a group dynamic. It becomes a society type of dynamic. It becomes a cultural dynamic. And when we're able to do that, we're able to affect people in so many different ways, showing positiveness. I know that sometimes I even go into the school system and I substitute as a substitute teacher because a lot of our young people don't see positive role models from black males. And that's a problem. They don't have them in their home. They don't see them in the school system. Now, does that mean if we have to all stop tomorrow and become teachers or whatever? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is take time to do something in the community that makes a difference in somebody else's life, even though you're trying to make a difference in your music. And there's a lot of things that you can do positively to affect change and understanding where you are at your community boards and different things like that.
All right. Camille, I'm going to include this caller, then I'm coming to you, okay?
Okay, so stay with me. 916-752, please state your name, where you're calling in from.
A.V. Mandel out of Nashville, Tennessee.
A.V. Mandel. All right, man. Vandel. Stay with me. I'm going around to the panel right now, and I'm going to include you in, okay? So stay with me.
All
Thanks
right.
for calling in. All right, Camille, what's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is I think if the radio stations would kind of like, well, not just the radio stations, people that are in control of distributing and putting the music out, would kind of more enforce it where the lyrics are a little more cleaner, you know, I think that would help a little bit. I think the artists should understand that when they do make the lyrics and when they make the songs, that they are leading people and people will follow. I do agree with that 100%, but I feel like if the money is right, a lot of people are selling themselves just for the almighty dollar. So I don't know, you know, how well that would work with somebody, you know, wanting to be able to be positive, but they so caught up in the money part of it. They're going to do whatever they feel is going to make a sale. So I don't know, there's a lot of things we could do.
Now, my question here, and y'all include this in what we're talking about already, but I hear you talking about money, but money is the root of all evil. Are we going to continue to allow that money to drive us further into the evil?
Some people will, because they're obsessed with it. It would be nice if people thought differently and it could change, because I understand money is the root of all evil, but when you're looking at these videos and you're seeing all this stuff being glamorized, like the cars and the jewelry and the clothes and the lifestyle, you know, the artists themselves get caught up in that lifestyle and the luxury, and they feel like, forget it, I'm going to say what I want because I'm getting paid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was so true. That was definitely true.
I have to say that I agree with everything Camille just said, but I also would like to take it one step further. If, you know, we have all these days, right? We have all these days on the radio where it's like promoting this recording artist, promoting that recording artist. But what if we had a day to promote positivity in music? What if we had a day where we could let all those artists that could come up with something that was motivational, that was positive, and put it on the radio, and that would just be a start right there. But instead, it's like we focus on people instead of the idea of being positive, of having great lyrics, of having beautiful energy. Instead of that, we focus on this person or that person. Let it be a whole collective thing where we all are working towards the same idea and the same idea of bringing back music to where it started. And music back in the day was not about who shot this person, who did that person, or where you got your drugs from, or who you did last night. It was not like that back in the day. It wasn't. So that's what I would like to see.
Well, let me say something. You know, I think there's a lot of the issue that comes from a lot of the young hip-hop artists, and that's why we're not hearing too much of a change. They need to travel. They need to get outside of just that 50 miles they were born in or they live in and see more of the world. Because, you know,
yeah.
I asked myself one question, okay? Being in Washington, we've hit the I-5 corridor and gone all the way down to San Diego and what have you. And as we leave and get out of the inner cities and we start to see all of this open land and farmlands and all of this, I start to wonder why are there people claiming there's not enough to eat when there's a farmer over there that will sell you an ear of corn for 20 cents? And you go, well, wait a minute now. You know, the jobs. I want to make money. I want to do this. Well, there are other places that the economic point of income, it's cheaper to live. But you don't hear about these things over the news and what have you because they want to keep you in that 50-mile radius. But if you just travel, you'll realize that this is a whole big country. And the situation that lies within the five blocks that you grew up in doesn't exist in other places. You got to grow. You got to move. You got to see. A lot of these people that are doing hip-hop, the young artists, they don't know enough. They have no understanding. I talked to one artist on the telephone as the music program director here at Hip Hop National, and I said, I'm in Washington State. And he says, what, Washington, D.C.? I said, no, Washington State. Well, where is that? Well, okay, a map, we saw that in school. And, you know, the thing about it is that they need to know more. They need to see more. You know, it's a funny thing about the children that are born in the inner city. I have a friend that's as old as me. Okay. How old are you? Well, Dirk's got a little bit on me, but I'm close. All right? So check this out. I said to him, when's the last time you were 50 miles from the home that you grew up, that your parents brought you home from the hospital in? And he said, man, I haven't. And I said, why? He said, what's out there? And I go, wait a minute. You'll never know if you don't go. You know, it's like people feel that they're in a comfort zone, but they don't realize they've got to grow. They've got to see. Because that's part of the mind being able to evaluate in a larger way of, what's really going on? What's this really
dog,
about?
I understand,
but that,
Raw Dog. Can I say something?
Can I include A.V. Landell real quick, and then
okay.
You tell me, please?
Okay.
So, A.V. Landell.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
What's your thoughts?
First, I'd like to say thanks for having me on the show this evening. It's nice to be here with everybody.
Okay.
And
welcome to the show.
Thank you. Well, me being an artist, you know, I'm 27. You know, I've been doing this for quite some time now, and I feel that I'm of the generation that has let down the youth of today, honestly. And that being because of the fact that, you know, when I was growing up, when I was 15, 16 years old, what was hot was, you know, like 50 Cent and the Ja Rule beef, you know, like when I was in my teen years, you know, really trying to find myself, beef is what it was about in the hip-hop industry. So I came from a real angry time in the hip-hop industry. You know? And
yeah.
Being a kid, you know, like, yeah, I was there for N.W.A. and Tupac and Biggie, you know, like, I was, you know, one of my first tape was the Machiavelli, you know, like, that was the first tape I purchased myself, you know, and it's like, you know, it was a real angry time in hip-hop, and it generated a lot of anger. It generated a lot of negativity. It caused, for what I feel, Black America to embrace the negative stereotype, you know, and it was because of the fact that, you know, you had just came to the Civil Rights Movement. Things weren't really right in this country, you feel me, from a race standpoint, the Rodney King riots in the 90s, you know, things of that nature, you know, and with that, you know, those types of things going on, it generated hate, you know, and that was in the music, and it made a hateful generation, you know. But in that time, we embraced that negativity, and, you know, now it's at a time to where I feel there's a lot more equality in this country amongst Blacks and whites in this country now than there ever was before, you know. And I think that really started developing after the, you know, September 11th, 2001. That really broke down, it didn't break down all barriers, but it broke down a lot of barriers because it actually gave the people in this country something to come together for. And I think that there was a lot of residual fallout that stayed positive. But in the youth of today, I agree with the traveling. You know, I've been all over this country. I've been in 28 states, and I've lived in about 14 different states, you know, and it really is because when you travel around, you get to learn that everybody's the same everywhere. Everybody does the same thing everywhere. The people of Atlanta do the same things as the people of Casper, Wyoming. There's just more of them, you know, and a different culture that's instilled there. And I feel, you know, like with music, what I've done is I've taken a direction to where I can start. I know that kids look up to me because, you know, I'm the age – well, actually, I'm older now, but Tupac was 26, you know. And I looked up to him as a kid. And, you know, the things he did, the things he spoke about still influence a lot of the things that I feel and I believe. And I feel that's what it's our generation's turn. It's this age from 25 to 30 to take in children, not just black, not just white, not just Mexican, not just Puerto Rican, just all children need direction. Because right now this country is going all kinds of different ways with this leader. And Barack Obama, you know, you have everybody who hates him, you have everybody who loves him. It's just a confusing time for kids. Technology is at an all-time high in giving these kids access to information that wasn't available to people until they had lived 30 or 40 years, you know. So, I mean, there's a whole lot more, you know, the money being the root of all evil. This is true, but it's kind of like, you know, if mankind was wiped out, money would not be causing no harm on this planet. You know, it's man is the root of all evil. We're the ones that cause it to happen. Without us being here, the hate wouldn't be there and things of that nature. So really in summation, it's just I feel that I am of the generation that is responsible for helping to turn things around. You know, the rebel with right now you have the youth who are rebels without a cause. There's nothing to be fighting for. They're not fighting for anything more than knowledge. There's a lack of knowledge. It's tremendous in our schools and in what we're passing down because now we're relying on technology and research being available to the kids instead of us passing them down. Some of the best things that I have in life were given to me by word of mouth of my father, my grandfather, my mother, and so on and so forth. We have to embrace our youth, and they're not going to embrace anybody better than the people that are of that 25 to 30 age group, which is a large part of your hip-hop community. You know, so because that, honestly, I feel that is the prime window for hip-hop. You know, it's you come in before or right at 25, and, you know, your shelf life is so much shorter in hip-hop than most genres, you know. So, but, again, just back to the fact that I feel we just have to embrace our youth. We have to get them back to interacting with people, the social network and things like that. It's not just the music. The music does cause a lot, but we just as a whole have to bring back in the kids, man. And music is a great avenue to do it because they emulate everything they see in the videos and they hear in the music. So that's my take on the whole
thing. Thanks a lot, baby. All right, man, I appreciate that. Tiffany, follow up.
Okay, what was that gentleman's name?
A.V. Landell.
Okay, he brought a very, very good point. And all I want to do is to extend that. I can honestly say that when I was overseas, they don't always get the same music we get at the same time. But they still get the same type of influence from that music, if that makes sense. The thing about this that I went when I was overseas, for the first time in my life, and you know, I am African American. You know, I'm whatever you want to call me, mulatto, whatever you want to call me, but I am African American. And the first time I was ever called the N-word overseas, and it wasn't because of the fact that I had done something to make this. Calling me that, it was because they heard it in music from us that made them think that it was okay. That's so the thing about it is that we have to understand that our music, our hip-hop, goes worldwide, and it causes a reflection on how people think about us all over the nation and all over the world, not just in the state or the city you live in. So that's why I say if we took the time to really think about what image we are trying to portray, then of course the rest of the world would believe that image. And instead of just saying in this, in that, or, you know, talking about all this other random stuff is really not important. If we were the ones that put in a very positive belief in the world and in people, then it would translate across the world, not just across the U.S.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Sure.
Please.
You're jumping in on me?
I got to say this. No, you check this out. If you want me to.
I got quiet for a while, though.
If you want me to. Okay, but no, listen to me now. You guys, now, here's something. Take this from an older head. The 27-year-old gentleman.
He's old. No, just
and wise. Okay, the 27-year-old gentleman. That was speaking of how the hip-hop affected and what have you. You got to realize something now. this, the government created and allowed what went on. Because when rap changed over and hip-hop became more hardcore, these were the children of the crackheads, the Contra era.
Rodo, I'm sorry. Just keep it brief and then make sure you keep your subject and carry
okay,
it
okay, but listen. This is on mark. And what happened?
We got to go to that break. So just, you know.
Okay. But I got to, this is real.
Gotcha.
It was the Contra era, and crack and cocaine was being brought in exchange for arms through the government. We all know this is to be fact. Okay, what happened was the N-word was allowed because it was a point that was what went with the cocaine point, because people saw themselves on the low end of life. And so what happened was is they allowed that word to be used in a supposedly an allegiance, a friendly fashion. And then what happened was is that the young people were being recruited to sell the dope because they wouldn't go to prison. So the guns came out because they had to defend their territory. So in hip-hop, it was the angry young children that saw their parents and what have you getting pulled into the crack as a leisure weekend thing and become junkies and crackheads. And the young people were then selling the dope to the elders, and there was a total disrespect and a loss of hope because they saw the older generation losing everything. Respect, family, cars, jobs, everything behind the drug. And then they had to defend themselves. They had to defend their territory, so then they had the guns. And they brought that in because they wanted to have a generation wipe out itself. It was a conspiracy. Now you can go back to poetic. So you made me do it fast, but there were some things that I left out in that. But that's the way it transcended,
Rodo,
and they let hip-hop do it.
Rodo, when we come back, we're going to touch bases. We're going to go back across what you just said. We're going to go across the board and get people's thoughts on it. But you know how we have to do it. We got to pay the bills, show them what our program is about, get people to advertise their music and advertise their products on the show so we can keep this show alive.
Exactly.
www.hiphopnationalradio.com. This is how we do it. Y'all stay with us.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio conference call and feedback line.
This is your boy, Billy Rockwood from Scum, calling from Sweden. Here's our new single, You Fail. Get along and join the movement of HipHopNationalRadio.com. Request our song, S-C-U-U-M, with You Fail. One love and God bless.
Hey, yo, what's up? It's your boy, Jay Wonder, and I want y'all to request my new hit single, This Town, on HipHopNational.com.
What's good, y'all? It's your boy, Quote. And here's my new hit single, I Want You. Keep it locked on HipHopNationalRadio.com.
All right.
Forever Memory Blankets is your only stop when thinking of memory items created from photos. Forever Memory Blankets creates blankets, pillows, bed covers, T-shirts, and so much more. Remember, all we need is an ordinary photo. FMB has done great work for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Oprah Winfrey, Music Soul Child, NBA All-Star Dwayne Wade. Forever Memory Blankets is doing it up for all of the stars, from Slim Thug to Bun B, and we cannot forget about our main man, Snoop Dogg. All you have to do is contact us today at www.fmblankets.com or call 469-893-0706. That's 469-893-0706, where we're taking ordinary to extraordinary.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion? Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on
Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
All right, we're back. Hip Hop National is a marketing firm to help you present a professional portfolio to the industry inside circle of the music business. We have these topics so that we can learn from different perspectives. But our main thing that pushes this engine is the music that's behind it. And Monday to Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, we load it with music, brand new music. Make sure you tune in to Dr. AT Show. Okay? And if you want to get your music on here, it's www.hiphopnationalradio.com. Okay, back to the topic. Is hip-hop lyrics an imitation of life mishaps? Raw Dog, I would love for you to recap where you were going with that, and then we're going to go around the floor. You now have the floor.
Well, okay. I brought up the cocaine, the Contras, the parents losing everything into crack, the children dealing crack. Now I'm going to give you one artist that exemplifies that, Tupac. His mom was on crack, and that was in the documentary, Notorious B.I.G. He sold crack. His mom was a teacher, but he sold crack. So when we start to talk about how, you know, this, you know, the angry, the other side of life and what have you. Well, see, the kids are looking at those guys, and they're saying they're dead. They don't see themselves getting old anymore. So it's live for the moment, not for tomorrow. And when I was brought up, I was taught to live for tomorrow because guess what? Even though it's not guaranteed, you need to be prepared. You know, and it's about now things are changing because I'm seeing more and more families, the mother and the father, you know, trying to raise the children. So I think that, you know, I think that's why hip-hop is getting a little boring is because the lifestyle is changing at this point. You know, it's not such a fast situation. It's more of a realistic situation because, you see, you know, less children are being born out of wedlock because the game plan no longer exists to be able to have subsidized housing and income for the rest of the mother's life. See, that was a game plan
right
back in the good old days.
You said boring. You said that it's getting a little bit boring. I want to get Camille's take on it. Is hip-hop getting boring? Camille, you got me on mute.
Yeah, I had you on mute. I wouldn't say hip hop is getting boring. It is changing. It hasn't been for the better. There's still some good music out there, but I think it's getting simple. I think the lyrics have been dumbed down. You know, I think everybody's going for the simple stuff. I don't think it's like complex. I don't think it's like people that's really speaking on stuff that we need to learn about. So I can say that. I don't think it's boring.
Lightning.
I just think it's getting it's getting really dumbed down.
Okay, dumbed down. Okay, dumbed down, boring. Okay, to me, they're exactly
almost
what I mean. You know, it's so repetitious that you're looking for something new. And, you know, then you can embrace a new song. But if it's the same storyline or the same innuendo, it becomes, I hate to say it, I'm going back to my word, I'm old school, boring. Because
don't do
I want to hear something new and different.
Or basic.
Hey, can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's been so many things that you guys have talked on.
Wait,
and that goes
speaking?
Back to what
who's
I...
Speaking?
It's
speaking?
Broham and Eggs, I'm sorry. It's Broham
okay,
and Eggs.
Go ahead.
My thing is that it goes back to the word I use with hegemony and ideology. Going back to understanding and what the media portrays us to be and what we see on a regular. And so one young lady was saying about what the radios should do. You're going to have to do that when you do the national radio forum, you know, when all the program directors get together nationwide and they all sit down at the wonderful hotels and stuff, and you come up with ideas. And you got to see if you can get a change. You start, if everybody doesn't want to listen, see if a region wants to listen. And we make an effective change individually. Then we have to, you know, and I know a few program directors, I know some music directors that are not happy with the repetition that they listen to, but because of the dollar that keeps some of the radio stations in place, certain things have to come out, and that's what they play. Now, somebody said that you shouldn't be cursing or using certain words in your lyrics. Well, the problem with that is it's called freedom of speech. You know, are you going to allow in what triggers the intelligence part, because this is what we're talking about, getting supplements, getting intelligence, making a change. When the gentleman's talking about traveling and someone doesn't understand what Washington State is and going somewhere, besides having an education, I own my own trucking business. And so I've been all over the United States, Mexico, and Canada. I've also been overseas. So the problem is that a lot of people don't want to expand their horizons to make themselves more than what they are so that they can have something to talk about and have substance to talk about. So they're limited to their environment, and what we've allowed to come in is the dope and the drugs and the street talk. Everybody doesn't stand for it. Perfect example. What's the kid's name that got a song, Look Like Money? He got $750,000, Young Ralph. And I know this personal knowledge, $750,000 for a single deal from Universal. Wow. Universal cut the deal because he went out and decided to show everybody a video showing them how to be a jug man and doing some other stuff he wasn't supposed to do in the clubs. And they scrapped the deal, but he got a single deal for $750,000. It can be, you can be good writers, you can be good talkers, you can. But when you go and start doing stupid stuff, corporate people don't want to deal with it. But right now, people are buying into the dumb stuff that's being said. We've got to start funneling to young people that are educated, that are speaking of substance, and start playing their stuff and giving them a platform to play their stuff and giving them a platform to be heard. That's what the problem is. Those that do have the platform are not giving them the platform. We can talk all we want to, but money, at the end of the day, still has to feed people. We still have to live and survive. Now, loving money is one thing, but surviving is another, because even the Father, even Messiah said that you still have to render under Caesar what is Caesar's. So in order for me to record, in order for me to do things I need to do, in order for Hip Hop National to be on, you still have to have sponsorship. You still have to have people coming in doing commercial ads. You still have to, money still has to be brought in. But how are we going to make a positive change besides just talking about it? What are we physically doing? What are you doing in your neighborhood that's making the difference for everything that we're speaking of? Are you promoting young artists? Are you promoting artists that have positive words and positive lyrics?
Is that proposed to me?
Sounded like he was challenging you, Poetic.
That was a challenge to me. I have done
everyone.
I have done performances to that level. In recent times, I haven't been able to, but I have done positive outlook performances. But recently, I've got into evaluating them and being judges of them for the city. But
reality,
I haven't put one on. So, don't get me wrong, Broham and Eggs, you're definitely right on head. You can talk about it all you want to until you're blue in the face. You really have to be proactive and do something about it in the community. That's just encouraging.
And that's my point. It's not the one person. I'm talking to everybody on the panel.
Yeah.
Everybody on the panel.
I agree with you. I don't disagree.
Everybody needs to have a voice.
And I will not run from it and say, oh, okay, he's talking about me. No, you're talking about me. You're talking about everybody on the panel. I do agree. We need to speak up and actually put something on.
Anybody wants to contact me, talk to Al. If Al wants to give you my number, I'm more than willing to do so. I'm working right now on a 15-city tour, mixtape tour. So you want to talk to me, go through Al. Let's make it work. Let's make it happen. And for all the other artists that are out there, if you want a platform to do your stuff, because guess what? People don't even realize, and some of these artists don't realize, they can still be millionaires, and nobody even has to know they're making millions of dollars. How about making $100,000 a year? I got a program right now that will do that. And you'll make money. It'll cost you some money, but it's going to make you some money because you'll be able to be booked, and you'll be able to go to places like North Dakota, South Dakota, Oregon, Washington State, Maine, Portland, Maine.
Yeah, but if they come to Washington, you better tell them bring their long underwear because it's 18 degrees.
Well, yeah, they need their long underwear, but
let me include a caller, guys. 706-443. Please state your name, where you're calling in from. 706-443.
Hello?
Yes. Does AV?
Hello. I'm just really just checking out the conversation. I'm an artist myself, and I also do production. Flip Real, Always Real Entertainment. We're based out of Newland and LaGrange, and we deal
Your
with
name
a lot
is
of upcoming artists. Oh. Yes, it is.
My man, I appreciate you coming on promoting your thing, but this is about the topic. And then if you want to do some promotions, that's great because we do that too. So, what's your take on tonight's topic?
I'm agreeing with everything I'm hearing as far as how the music is coming right now. I got a lot of artists that I have that I work with. And like you said, it's all about the finances. It's hard to get where you're trying to go if you don't have funding. And if the streets is demanding that you play a certain sound, then how can you get around it without giving them what they're asking for? We got to go in and try to change the mindset or just get them the type of music that they need to hear.
Well,
you know what? I got to say this. You know, it's like this. A 9-to-5, you can have a clear conscience, and you can stand for something. But if you don't have a 9-to-5 and you have to succumb to what you think the people want to hear that goes against the grain, well, then you fall for anything. And that's the way I see it in the hip-hop.
That's kind of where I was going with it, too.
Guess what? The funny part about this is that each artist is an individual. Just because you think that this is what the public is going to embrace, you do it, doesn't mean that you are an artist. Because an artist is supposed to open your eyes and bring something new to your mind in their talent, not to succumb and be a duplicator, a replicator, an Elvis impersonator. See, this music industry is a pimping game. You take the weaker mind and make him believe, and he'll follow the leader. Or you get a strong mind that is a leader, and he'll open the door for you, and he'll make money.
But there's a problem. I understand what you're saying, but there's a problem with that because you can't just say a 9-to-5. Perfect example is Enron. Okay? How about Madoff? Okay, you're talking people that have money and that have invested in Ponzi schemes and different other stuff. So when a young man is talking about the streets and where he's from, he has to be educated. First, you have to do it just like even the words that you have to feed a person where they're at first, and then you start to teach them and teach them that they can change their ways and how leadership is. Because if we just say that, okay, well, you got to focus in on a 9-to-5 or what people are doing, say, well, some of those 9-to-5 people, some of those people, white collar crimes have been the worst crimes than some of the crimes from people in normal streets. So we have to give.
Okay, but now here's the question. Great thought. Get a hip-hop artist to do something about the 9-to-5 people, how your boss comes to work and they're on legal medication higher than a flying kite. Okay? Let's do something on a different level. Let's not just – you see, what I'm trying to say is this. They have to be a pioneer. The truth is the truth, and I understand what you're saying. The 9-to-5 was the support so he could do something that was different. See, he could support himself with his 9-to-5, and then he could create something. But if you don't have a 9-to-5 and you're just trying to make money as an artist, I can see him putting out something that he thinks that the people on the street are going to embrace because, hey, he can make money walking out his door.
But what I'm saying, people in the street aren't embracing it, though. See, the thing that we're misunderstanding here is the fact is that it doesn't matter if you have a 9-to-5 because guess who's buying the album? Not just those people on the street, but the people that have a 9-to-5. They're supporting it because they like the life. Some of them enjoy the lifestyle.
Okay, but wait a minute. But wait a minute. You're thinking small money.
No, I'm not.
Okay, I got a question.
When album sales reach over 100,000, that ain't small money, brother.
Okay, but no, what he's
talking
about.
And that's what I'm saying. I know it can't be small money because when you're talking to 1,000 sales, when you start getting to 100,000 sales, when you start getting to 1,000,000, and you're talking platinum, and people can buy your stuff.
Okay, but that's something totally new that the artist has done, right?
Okay, but what about the guy that's locked up now, Big Meech? That man was selling stuff under the table and in the streets, and he was making millions of dollars. And the FBI was why, and he was making millions and hundreds of millions. We're not talking $200 or $300. We're talking millions. You got to understand the platform. We have to understand both sides. That's what I'm saying to you. I'm not discrediting everything you're saying, but what I'm saying is you have to understand, you have to come to a man where he's at, because we cannot walk in every man's shoe. And so since we can't walk in every man's shoe, we have to understand the shoes that
he's
in.
When is Big Meech getting out of prison?
But that's not – it doesn't matter. It didn't matter.
No, but I'm just asking a question, because $100 million don't mean nothing if you ain't got freedom.
Okay. Okay, the point I'm trying to make to you is this.
The only reason he got locked up is because he's big stupid. Wait a minute.
He made the money regardless.
The story that you're telling is a truthful story, and I appreciate you. But the reality to it is he was making all this money. Okay, what did he do wrong that he is not free at this point, so that he could then be a mentor to another artist? If the story
turns into
a negative.
Point his finger up to the FBI. I can tell you what he did wrong. He wasn't smart enough. He didn't have nobody in his camp to pull him aside to tell him that he did not need to point his middle finger up to the FBI. I'm being honest with you. Because at that point, this man was bringing in tigers and stuff from places and exotic stuff in Atlanta, and people didn't understand and all the crazy – he was doing stuff that most people and normal people and rich people were not doing. And rich people were flocking to him.
Taxes or something?
No. They told him to calm down and stop spending the money the way he was doing and flaunting it in front of people. And they got him on some kind of money and something else. But the only point I'm trying to make is this, is that regardless of all of that, because at the end of the day, we're talking about changing someone's perspectives, because letting them see the bigger picture. Because when we talk about people on the street, look at Jay-Z. Jay-Z had enough common sense to tell his partner, who he was on the streets with, okay, cuz, look, let's make a choice, $25 million or $250 million. He walked away from Damon Dash. He left Damon up there and started making $250 and more. Because he realized he had to change his stripes. He had somebody in his ear telling him that you have to change your shoes. No, the shoes that you were in were cool for that time period, but now you got to change. Then, at the same time, look at Look at 50 Cent.
Didn't he sue Damon Dash because he wasn't getting the royalties from his song, his music? And he sued him, and in court they gave him the label and what have you?
Yeah,
but
that was
just
down the
happened?
Road. But did he not just sue him? He left him because he started making $250 million first. And
but
then
no,
he started,
but he, but
then
he
started
sued
investing
him
in
because
the
he owed him money, right?
Right.
And
that
then
was,
that's how he
that
got
wrong.
The label, right?
But that was
can
later
I,
on.
Can I say
that
something?
That means he used the court system. Did he not use the legal system, 9 to 5?
But see,
but
yes,
ma'am, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tiffany.
I just want to say one thing, and it's going to be very, very quick. You have, as an artist, we all have the power to be seen however we choose to be seen. If that's in a positive light or if that's in a negative light, there's no way I would even attempt to try and be an inspiration, which is what actually in my heart I would always desire to be. If I were going to go and do something that was going
to
land my butt in jail, I would not do that.
Exactly.
I would not do that.
That's
so
not
therefore,
success.
Yeah, therefore, it's a choice. We have a choice as artists, no matter what we do. You know, even I don't care if you are, if it's the music industry, if it's my industry, which is the film industry, whatever it is, you have a choice to be seen however you want to be seen. And if that's positive, you go after that. And if that's negative, then fine. But at the end of the day, while you're sitting up in jail, there's some other artist who is doing it the right way and who's going to be able to get money the legal way and actually say that they have it and not
yep.
that it's on hold because the government has control over all your funds, really.
Right.
That's
you know, I was never impressed by someone that lost his freedom because freedom, to me, is priceless. I'd rather be poor and free than $100 million and locked
right.
up.
Right.
I
Big
agree
Bubba
with that, but that wasn't my point. I was just going back to the 9 to 5 that you were talking about. That wasn't my point. The point was the 9 to 5.
But he would have been better off working a 9 to 5 than going to prison for whatever he did.
Okay, but
in other words, what I'm saying to you is all the money that he made, the point of the matter is clean hands, understanding that you stand to be a man. Not to be a hustler, not to be, you know,
and
none of that. You're trying to be a legitimate person employed having an income. Whether you
okay.
do rap, whether you do you're an actor, whether you're a pastor of a church.
Okay,
you're
let me ask,
trying
let me ask
to do a job.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
And you said you're a man of age. Okay, in the time that when it was time for you to go to work when you were a young man, because I can tell you myself, I know how it was when I started going to work, and I'm close to middle age myself, and I know that people valued on your word, and so you didn't have to have a great education, but if you had a good skill set, you could get a job. And today's society does not work like that. And I know from your time, and based on things you said, because of people that I hang around or used to hang around, Al Goodman is gone. I have the last picture of him, and I love Al. Okay, so I'm giving you a reference of people that I used to hang with. All right? But the fact is that these young people can't walk and get a normal job or walk to a job and get a job off the streets. And even if they do have the skill set, all the jobs are not available. So you're saying a 9 to 5 in the reference of everybody can go get a job when that's not going to happen. The other thing that I'm saying to you is that even though if you've been on the streets, I'm not a street person. I can tell you that right now. I'm not from the streets, but I've been around enough of them to understand the circumstances. Now, do I teach them? Do I try to go out and hustle with them? No, that's not my job, nor is it my place. Now, can I show them a better way? Yes. Do I criticize them for the lifestyle that they live in right now? No, because number one, if I can help them to be better, then that's my place. That's my place in this world to show them a better way to do things. If no one else is helping them, how do they see the light of day? And if the only thing that they do see is being glorified on television, and MTV is not even doing the way it used to do it in the 80s, when they used to show when you had all genre of music anyway. You didn't just have MTV rap or this station. You had MTV, and it showed everybody from Sting to whomever. So these kids got a chance to, growing up in the streets from Oakland, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Florida, wherever, especially back in the day, they had the opportunity to see different genre of music, understand different things. Now, you do have some artists that are have a good perspective, but they haven't gotten to a platform yet. But these kids nowadays don't have that. The dummy downness, which you're talking, the boringness, it's been dummied down completely. The only thing you see is somebody who's got millions of dollars, basketball players who've been on the kids who were on the street from high school, got to college, played 1 year, football players who've been in the streets, played 3 years, now they're in the NFL, now they're making millions of dollars, now they're going to get their homeboy who's still on the streets, who hasn't changed his lifestyle, and he's not teaching him to be better. So they both are losing money because he's creating a studio. And I'm seeing it every day, and we know it as fact. It hasn't changed. Michael Jordan, and I'm going to be honest with you, Michael Jordan and that crew, they left the pillars flat because they didn't help Iverson. They didn't help all the guys below them. They got the help before them from Russell, but they didn't have to talk to the kids below them to teach them how to keep building and to make foundations better. And that's where the problem is. We just can't say a 9-to-5. The problem is what we left our society short coming from the 90s. We didn't go back and get these kids. We didn't go back and start teaching them values that we had gotten from the old school, from the people in the 40s and 50s who were protesting, who were sitting out, who were making differences in our lives. What differences did we start changing? Because you talked about the crack and the cocaine and the N-word, but then what did we do as a society, blacks, whites, because there were a lot of us that were together and sitting in. In 1992, at Georgia State, I went to Georgia State. We had blacks, whites, everybody was sitting in together in 92 to bring African-American studies to Georgia State University. So my point to you is when we started moving forward, when we started moving up to this point now, what has the legends, the people that call themselves legends, because that's why I made the statement I made earlier about what are we doing right now and how can we make it a positive, effective change right now, not tomorrow, today. What have legends done to make a difference for the people in the streets, that when they were in the streets, those that got out of the streets, to help these young kids to get out of the streets, to make the music more positive, to do things? Millie Jackson has been the most nastiest talking woman in the world as a blues artist, and she's still making money. So it's not about using cuss words, but it's about positive reinforcement. It's about positive music. It's about things that you're trying to do and target audiences. And right now, the street is the target audience for the world right now, and that's a problem. And that's what we're saying we're trying to change. So how do we do that as leaders? How are we going to make a form to actually change that dynamic and stop allowing hegemony to happen, what people see on television, what's being portrayed, and what's being said? There are a lot of people don't even realize 68% of the California police officers are black, but what they see on television is white.
Well, see, you brought up a good point. And that's why we're on Hip Hop National Radio right now, because that's what we're trying.
I want to say this in a statement because I've just been listening. You're right, totally what you're saying. But my point here, even in tonight's show, as far as lyrics imitating life mishaps, I think we need to try to reverse it in the mentality of our kids. Just like you said, the leaders need to step down and actually speak to the kids about the changing of how we can affect change, and then give them experiences, maybe win trips around the world so they can get that experience, so they can have that life experience, so they can share it in the lyrics. Because believe me, lyrics are so powerful. We imitate them, but what has happened in many, many years, hip-hop, the lyrics has been imitating what we see in life. All we're doing is keep regurgitating it. We're not helping it. We're just keeping ourselves stuck in the mud. and can't pull our feet out of it because that's where we're at. We can only see inside this box, and we're not seeing outside of that box. So we can start telling, hey, you know, I want to be an architect. You know, I want to be this, a doctor. These are not the things we're talking about. We're talking about, hey, in my hood, we're blasting such and such, and if you come up with the different colors and all of this stuff, this is what we're training our children on today. And it's not only today, we've been doing it for years. It's when we step outside of that box so we can start speaking up and speaking out, then our kids can say, hey.
Right. Yeah, but when did we think that that people that are entertainers are our leaders? Or when did we think
basketball people were our leaders?
I hear what you're saying.
If you hear what I'm saying, give me a chance to talk. Rather, you see them as a leader or not. Whenever a person step out as and they write a song, they create popularity, and all of a sudden, by choice, people are tuning in to what they're doing and following what they're doing. They become, rather they see themselves or not, as a leader, they are a leader.
Okay,
and
so
goes back to Nike commercial about Charles Barkley.
The Bible says,
am I a role model?
False prophets. These are false prophets. You're following false prophets. Is that what's happening?
Don't get me wrong. If somebody led them, when they would realize that they were there, then those people, they could probably change. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Can I ask you something? Do you not realize that most music today has no lyrical content? The biggest thing is a beat and a hook. Most people cannot tell you what's in the lyrics because they don't listen to the lyrics because there is no lyric. If you listen to certain stuff,
then
Two Chainz made a song, All I want for my birthday is a big booty, whatever. And you listen to the whole entire song, and the song makes no sense. If you listen to the entire lyrics, the song is stupid. But they're listening only to the beat and the hook, and they're excited about the beat and the hook. I'm just saying, how many people know songs today? We can go back to old school. We can talk about Stevie Wonder. We can talk about different songs from the Temptations.
Tribe Called Quest, it's true.
Yeah, and remember back in the day when the Five Tops did it, and they did the Raisins, and they made the commercial, and then they made a little cartoon series, and people started listening to the lyrics, and we're talking about what hasn't happened anymore. And there was a program that I'm working on now, talking bridging the gap, bringing old school back to new school. Because we got to start bridging the gap. There's a gap problem. There's a gap situation because now only thing that's successful right now is a beat and a hook. If you got a successful beat and a successful hook, you're going to make a hit record, and people are going to follow you. Now, going back to what you said about leadership, does that establish someone to be a leader? Not necessarily, but the problem is once you have followers, you become a leader. But then who is there to lead the person and coach and mentor the person that's starting to make this money so that they can make effective change? See, all of that is leadership skills, understanding who can mentor, who can coach, who can train, who can then lead others, going back to everything I said earlier. But the problem is we don't have effective leaders out there. We don't have old school leaders. You know, I went back to a group. I'm not going to mention. I'm going to be nice. And I went to them about a thing that was coming on and a project that I needed them to do. And they had experience and all this kind of stuff. And then because they were going to get the show to talk about what's the show that comes on the Black Network about your unfortunate untold story, something like that. I can't think of it. But Unsung. And they came out with their Unsung came out. And before their Unsung came out, I said, hey, look, let's get together. Let's do this, this, and this. What we can do is piggyback on your Unsung. Oh, you're trying to get into my fame. People don't know you. These kids don't know you. That's why you on a channel that's not on every cable station in America, because people don't know you. It's a small Black network that you're on, and I'm trying to help you put on a platform so people do know that you wrote music for white people back in the day besides yourself. But the problem is it's still ignorance. See, there are people that always cry that want to do leadership, but they don't want to take the real reins and put them on and put on those shoes and walk down that street and close the door behind them and say, okay, look, grab my hand. And come on over here. Come on. Let me show you something. And go outside with the little girl that's outside. Because remember back in the days, to take the chalk and write the chalk down and you put one and two and three and we'd go skip and teach them how to do skipping. And we play one hop and we play stickball and we play freeze tag. Yeah, all of that. See, and that's the thing. See, nobody's going out there saying, hey, let me take you from right now. Because, see, everybody wants right now. Even the adults want right now. The game, the PlayStation, is not just for the children. The PlayStation, the Wii, the Nintendo, for the adults. So that they can sit at home and play all these different stuff. They're not going outside with their kids. They're not taking them outside. The kids are not outside playing freeze tag anymore and green light and red light. And then they're not playing one hop. And they're not doing all the things that used to be done, and there's nobody coming out there to the community centers and grabbing up all the kids and saying, come on, let me show you something. Let's hang out. And look, while you're learning how to do this music, come on, let me take you to the studio over here, and I'm going to show you how to write words. I'm going to show you how to write lyrics, because now I want you to be – and then, okay, I got this guy over here professionally that's at Universal, and we're going to get Sony. We're going to get this guy from Sony, get from Universal. We're going to sit down, and we're going to have these better forms, and like we used to have the real hip-hop form. We don't have that anymore. And you know that there's no real big – now, I mean, it's hard to get a record deal in the first place. So who's out there with the distribution? Who's helping me? Who's teaching me stuff? How do I understand what ASCAP and BMI and CSAC is all about? What are these people? Who are they really? What is TuneCore? How can I get my music overseas? Like the young lady said, she was overseas. How can I get my artist overseas? How can I get overseas? How can I learn to do pop and cover tunes so that I can learn to sing in front of people overseas, make myself a living, because this is stuff we can teach them actually to do, make some money. Okay, let's come back. Now I got some money in my pocket. I actually had a job. I'd have made some grands overseas. I can come back, start learning, dealing with my lyrics, dealing with producers, and I have money in my pocket training them to be successful, training them to work.
And then don't get me wrong, when you're at that level right there, that's when you need to start. Someone need to turn to you and say, hey, it's time to give back.
Right.
Because that's when at that level, when you're just beginning that success, and then you get to that success before you get the big head and forget about everybody else. Somebody need to be mentoring right there at that stage that, hey, the biggest thing about all of this is giving back. And then re-mentoring somebody else to duplicate what you just did. That's where I think we fail at when we succeed in the industry of music or in any kind of thing. People forget where they came from because they forget all about that. They forget all the hard times that they were having, and then they fail to turn back and re-mentor the next generation because they're only looking at the money that it provided. And that is continuing to provide. Rather, we're losing our souls in it or not. Like Camille said earlier, the money.
Mm-hmm.
People get lost in the money. Camille and Tiffany, I haven't heard from you guys for a little bit. We're getting ready to wrap up. Camille, I'm going to come to you, then I'm going to Tiffany. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was just saying, I've been and that thing is I like what everybody's saying, but it's going to take a lot to get everybody unified as far as trying to change the lyrics and change music and do stuff positive. That's something I would love to see, but I just don't see it happening anytime soon. I really don't. Because I just feel like everybody is basically in it, like I said earlier, for the money. A lot of people in. And our youth idolize it because they think that's a good thing. And I can understand how if you're on the streets is taking over with the music. Yes, it is. But, like, my son, he does music, but everything that he does is really kind of, like, positive. But the only thing is, it's a lot of people that are doing the positive, but it's more so more people that's on the Almighty Dollar and just the raunchy lyrics. So I don't know. I will hope to see a change before I die. I know that much.
Tiffany? Tiffany?
Well, I guess the only thing I would say is that, you know, all these, especially a lot of the new hip-hop artists and everything, they talk about how cool they are, how big they are, how much money they have, all this stuff. But you know what? What's going to change music is when those same artists get over the fear factor, the fear of not going out and doing something different, the fear of not saying something positive, instead just trying to do what the next person did a little bit better. But the moment is that, and the cool thing about it is that back in the day when music was music and music was great, there were a whole bunch of visionaries that were willing to do something and say something different. And once the fear is gone now, we can get back to that place. Until then, we'll be stuck in the same rigmarole that we've been listening to for at least the last 20 years.
I agree.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because you know what? You're absolutely right. And the funny part about this is you know, when you're in your car and, you know, hip-hop comes on and you hit the button and change the channel and you change the channel until you find something you want to hear. Well, guess what? See, I bypassed a lot of the so-called hip-hop because guess what? It to me, for some reason, it's just it's wrong. It's another form of pimping and taking money for very little talent. There are some that do have a lot of talent, but they're very few. And I noticed that the subject content was the shocking part of it that made it important as far as the radio stats, you know, and that didn't impress me. You know, I think what I see happening, and one gentleman said it, a hook and the music. Well, you know, people like Junior Walker and the All-Stars, you know, Shotgun. You know, and then you think of Herbie Hancock and George Duke, and you start to think of, you know, Grover Washington and what have you. Dance music, Horace Silvers, and, you know, there's going to be dance music integrated with hip-hop. There's going to be less words, a meaningful hook, and it's going to be danceable, head-bobbing. You're going to be able to create your own thought from that hook. And as the music plays, you're going to be able to create your own formula for what is really being put out in this. What am I supposed to get? And each individual is going to have their pick and choice, and they're going to embrace it. You know, I see hip-hop as the lyrics, you know, there's so many repetitive points in a lot
exactly.
of the submissions that we get. You know, they're talking about the same thing that, you know, the ego trip of the money and what have you, and, you know, the Gucci and what have you, and that's unrealistic, you know. At my age, I already know clothes, what, they last, what, maybe 5 years and out of style? Or they're made of fabric that snaps that you got to replace your wardrobe. So the tags and all of that, I see that as a way of go make the money, spend the money. Don't save the money. When did anybody? When have you heard a hip hop song called that had something about you need to own a piece of the rock? You know what? My father used to say, "Hey, every man should own a piece of the rock." Well, that's a house. That's the land. You don't hear that encouraged in hip hop. You don't hear, "Hey, you need an education or you got a degree." You don't hear that. You know, it's all about being making the money. Spending the money, you know, how does that go? A fool and his money part very quickly. Well, okay. What are we trying to do? Breed a bunch of young folks that are just
okay. Can I interrupt? Because the hip hop that you're talking about is the hip hop that's controlled by the major label. If you want to change the music, you have to control the music, and you can't generalize hip hop off of what's marketed to the masses, and it's marketed to the masses and certain audiences for a certain reason. A lot of stuff that you hear on the radio, those artists can't control their content. They don't control their content, and they put out what they're told to put out. So if you want to change the music, and if you're dissatisfied with what you're hearing on the radio, how about we get some independent investors who want to invest in independent companies who have a whole different idea? Because the ones that are investing the major monies are the ones that's investing in a certain topic, in a certain mindset, and they're propagandizing and spreading that.
Okay, but that's what I do. I don't do anything negative. Effect. So, therefore, I can talk it because that's what I walk. And that's why I'm saying it. And I understand how what you're saying, and you're correct. But, see, that's the catch to it. You know, I gave you the phrase. You know, you either stand for something or you fall for it all. And I stand for a point, and I understand there's another side, but I'm not falling for it. Because guess what? I think I can make a change, and I will try to make a change.
That's what we stand for totally on Hip Hop National. I mean, don't get me wrong, guys. We go against the grain every night, and we know we do. We know this is a different mindset, different program. This is not. It's not. We play music, but it's not all about the music. We have discussions because we want to mastermind. And don't get me wrong. When people come together in numbers and we mastermind in numbers, that's when change take place. It starts just in a community just like this. And what's great about this community, it's an online community that we can create that can go worldwide in an instant with the right
And I agree with you, Poetic, and I think that we should. We individually should make sure that we're reaching out to our friends, our fans, and whoever else we're talking to to come on the
radio
station.
You're on tonight. You need
for the
to be doing it.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. What the gentlemen that you spoke to tonight, they called in. They're from me because they're artists and they want to reach out and they're listening in. So when I call in, you know, generally I have either somebody else with me or I have some other people call in as much as I can. To let them listen and be a part of, because I want them to understand that this is not just from my point of view, from Bro Ham and Edge, but what the perspective is from everybody's point of view, because it's different. It's something different in Queens, New York, as it is in Walla Walla, Washington. So we got to understand that, and we got to understand how do we reach that person, and that's why I was making the comment earlier. If these young people want to really do something, then they got to get with you to get with me, and I can help them get into college scenes where they can start making money and getting paid and get their music out. So it is what it is. If you want to not just be locked into where you are, I'm giving you the platform. I'm telling it right now on Hip Hop National. Okay, that right now, if you contact Al, however Al wants to contact me and work this out, I'll help you. I'm doing my part. But I can't make nobody.
461-3398. Again, it's 954-461-3398. We also got Tiffany on, too. She's a movie producer. We're looking for placement in that movie.
Yes.
So
definitely
want to call and hook up. 954-461-3398. That's how we do. We connect the dots to the industry.
Tiffany,
so,
Al wouldn't let me do it.
He wouldn't let you do what?
He wouldn't let me submit none of my music to you.
Why? Terrible. Al, you're a bully.
He's mean like that.
He lied. He just
I was a bully.
He just
wanted
to get
on. Jeez Louise, this is wrong.
I know, he's wrong.
Any final words from you guys? Because we got exactly 7 minutes, 8 minutes,
yes.
Actually.
Yes,
be
original.
I want to go around. I'm going to start with you, Tiffany.
Be original. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Yes. Give me a minute.
And being original means that you can also be positive. Be a good influence and don't run behind all the other artists that are out there talking about all the negative stuff and all the other things that are not necessarily negative, but things that we already know in life that we've already experienced. We've heard it all before. Do something new and be different. Be innovative and be a visionary. That's
Ooh,
it.
She said it. I like that.
That was top heavy. Now go ahead, Camille. Follow up.
All I'm going to say is I really enjoyed the conversation. The topic was great, and I wish it could be done more, like on the regular radio stations as well, as not just the internet radio stations, because it's something that everybody needs to hear and get involved
yes.
in.
Well, we do this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in discussion, so it is here more all the time. Just invite your people. We can connect around the world this way. Don't get me wrong. I understand what you said, and just not on internet station. But hey, I want to be on TV. So y'all got
four foot five.
Want to help put that on? I already got the program. I'm just letting you know. Anyway, but I do agree with you. I don't want to just be on the internet. I want to be on the worldwide TV. Okay?
Yeah, sitting in a high chair.
All right,
and I got the music. So while y'all joking and teasing, I got the music that can be on TV, and it's clean.
Bro, ham and eggs. We gonna talk then, bro. Let's talk.
Yeah,
anyway,
I got the artist.
All right,
and the clean
all right,
stuff,
we're gonna go
but,
around.
Yeah,
bro, ham and eggs. You got the floor. What's your final thoughts? What's your
guys?
What
I just,
like
for everybody that's out there that's listening. And if you came in late, call in, be a part of the show. Let your voice be heard. That that way, for anybody that's on the panel, you're able to get something refreshing. Because I believe that I think that this is going to be start for something successful. Al has been. Poetic's been getting on me about coming back to the show and talking. And I've been doing some things and trying to get some other things done. And what I'm saying right now to everybody that's listening, this is a wonderful platform. This is the best platform that I know of, even though it's internet radio and Camille and Tiffany and the other young lady and the gentleman that I've been talking to and the other guy from the other state. And all the people that are on the panel, guys, let's make this. Let's start working together. And when I say working together, let's start calling our peers, our young people that we see needs this type of information, this type of atmosphere. Let's get them on. Let's work together. Let's help feed each other. You know, Al needs to be fed. I need to be fed. Tiffany needs to be fed. So let's start working together as a community and bringing our money and resources together so that everybody becomes successful and we can do more.
Right.
Yeah, you said that was the word of a giant. I swear. 706-443. I don't have your name again, but you got the floor. What's your final thoughts?
What's your final thoughts?
Okay. Rado.
Yeah. My final thoughts are, hey, you know, this is a good discussion. I appreciate everyone that called in. You know, I have much love for everybody. And you know Tiffany, when she says that stripper, that was that, hey, my eyes got wide. But
listen,
you know what?
Listen. You, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You're focusing on the wrong thing here.
Yeah, but guess what? You, every one of you is a beautiful individual. You care. You gave a part of yourself that you didn't have to do. And that's what it's about. You know, it's about getting together and let them hear the truths. You know, I may have jumped out there and wanted to know about that artist that made all the money, but I wanted the truth to come out in the end that money is not always the route to success. It's about, you know, what you achieve in your life and how you live your life, you know. And I don't want the entertainer to sell his soul just for the fame and the glitz, because there's more to life than that. You know, but hey, this discussion was great. Hey, let's do it again. You know, this is Hip Hop National Radio. We try to do it. Poetic tries to do it. Now I'm going to give it back to you, Poetic.
All right, guys. We do this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're on the discussion. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, we got all music. And on Sunday, we take you to church with Chris Willingham, Dr. A.T. on the music. Definitely. Y'all stay, keep it locked, keep it loaded. Come back on Wednesday for another hot topic. Good night, everybody, and thank you all for making this a wonderful show. Okay?
God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Facebook.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop.
Just hang up.